For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. As our country focuses on celebrating liberty and independence this week, we identify with monuments such as the Statue of Liberty, Mount Rushmore, or some of the many memorials and buildings in our nation's capital. As Americans, we are filled with patriotism when we see these images on display. They remind us of the courage and sacrifice required to provide our freedom. As Christians, when we think about spiritual freedom, the monument constantly before us is the cross of Christ. It is there that our souls are set free. Today, we are considering the cross. Pastor Holland begins a two-part series entitled, At the Cross. Turn with us in the New Testament to the book of John, chapter 19, as we begin.
I don't think we could ever exhaust the message of the cross. And today I want to go there and share with you in John chapter 19, I believe something that I trust will be a blessing and encouragement to you. I've never been in the Ford Theater in Washington, D.C., and truly, I was not there on April the 14th of 1865 when John Wilkes Booth assassinated Abraham Lincoln. But when I was in school, I liked Abraham Lincoln and I studied a good bit about it. And if you were asking me today to give an account of what happened there that night, I believe I could give you a fair, accurate account, but it would not be quite as accurate as if I would have been there. I think we come to John chapter 19, we see before us the same situation of where we find John giving us account of the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are several noticeable differences that we'll find from the other writers of Matthew, Mark, and Luke that is quite different from John's. But I believe today that we can see that John, as far as we know, I believe John was the only one of the original 12 disciples that was there and witnessed the crucifixion that day. Beginning in verse number 17, it is lengthy, but I feel like it's important to read it. And he bearing his cross. Now remember, this is John, and he was there. Went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now this title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, they took his garments, made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the one disciple whom he loved, being John, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple, being John, the one that's telling, that disciple took her into his home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and they put it upon hyssop, and put it into his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. Then the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first, and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he know that he saith true, that you might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away his body, the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. And he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. They brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. I want you to go back to verse 35. I want to read it again. And remember, this is John giving an eyewitness account of what transpired at the cross. And he saw it. He saw it bear record. And his record is true. He knoweth that he saith true, what? That ye might believe. I think it's quite interesting, and I hope by the time I get through today, if you haven't already seen it, you will come to the conclusion that John's account is much different than many of the other accounts that are given in the Bible. Now, does that mean they're not true? Absolutely not. But a witness will give he'll give an account of actually what he sees, and many times the witnesses' accounts are not always the same. But I think it's interesting, and I want you to see exactly what John is doing. He is trying to bear record. He's trying to give us the account in order that we might understand and believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sin. And we might not only believe that, but we would see the power that God has in him. He said at the cross, we find the truths of Jesus in the Gospel of John converge as a living water is poured out. It's the bread of life is served. The light of the world is Jesus, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. At the cross, the Son of Man is glorified even as he is being crucified. And looking at the cross through John's eyes, I think of the song that said, "Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?" I want you today, if you would, to look with me at this unique perspective that John had. And I believe John wanted us to see something. And I want to give you three things this morning that I believe John wanted us to see. First of all, he wanted us to look at the Savior fixed on the cross. He wanted to give us an account of the Lord Jesus fixed on the cross. Now, while through the years, many elaborate things have been written about the crucifixion. Yes, several years ago, there was a movie made, and many people went to see it, and of course, I've heard the stories of it, and people have talked about it and talked about the fact of the crucifixion and how horrible it was. I venture to say that even though it surely probably was a horrible sight, it was probably nothing to exemplify really what Jesus experienced when he died on the cross that day. And John wants us to see Jesus fixed upon that cross. Now, I want you to listen as we begin to look. As you think about it, all the other Gospels do one thing. Actually, let me say this. None of the Gospels really give a detailed account of the suffering and the torture that Jesus had on the cross. Now, I'm not saying they don't. They do talk about the crown of thorns, and they do talk about the cat of nine tails. They talk about all that, but they don't elaborate on it. Literally, don't you think that they could have wrote chapter after chapter after chapter about all of the torture that Jesus went through? However, they just mention it. In the book of John, you know what he said? All he said was that they crucified him. Now we know that he talks about them not breaking the bones. We know that he talks about the spear piercing his side and blood and water coming out. But literally, John is not majoring to us on what Jesus suffered. Not to say that's not important. I think today we all know what Jesus suffered and we know how bad it was. But he makes a statement, and they crucified him. Now, there's some things that he wants us to see about the suffering Savior who was nailed to the cross. He wants us to see Jesus hanging on the cross. And with that in mind, I think there's a couple of things that he wants us to see. First of all, consider the scene that John records. I think today as I read that passage, you know it's amazing. When you read the Bible, if you read it with the Spirit's help, it'll come to life as you begin to read. And even as I read that portion just then, it seemed as if it was almost real. That even though I was not there, I was hearing the account of a man that stood there and saw Jesus nailed to the cross. Having been handed over by Pilate, John says that he had to carry his own cross, and he carried it to a place called Golgotha, the meaning being the skull. I do not know, but I've heard others say that perhaps the reason it is there from Jerusalem, when you looked out to Hill Golgotha, it did look like a skull from the viewpoint in which they had. And so we find that he tells us that they started there in order that they might crucify him. Now, two criminals were due for the crucifixion and execution that day, and Jesus was hung between them. Roman soldiers hoisted up his body. They nailed his hands and his feet to the wood on the cross. And notice now, and again not minimizing, but nowhere in this chapter, in the account, John was there, does he mention the heat of the day. But John, Jesus being crucified, said nothing about the heat of the day. He said nothing about the heaviness of the cross. He said nothing about the pain from the nails, or the shame of being naked and being suspended before the eyes of all them people. He literally said nothing about it. You said, well, why don't you think he did? Because that's not what he wanted us to focus in on. What he wanted us to see is what Jesus was doing as he hung upon that cross for you and I. He was going to give us an account to try to get people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. John was concentrating not on the fact of what Jesus suffered, but what he was trying to make us concentrate on was Jesus fixed upon that cross. Now, the Bible says Pilate, and I read a while ago, he had a sign, and the Bible said that he had this sign placed upon the cross, and in writing was the word, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now, we read where it says it was written in Hebrew, Greek, Latin. If you go back to some of the other accounts that is given by the other writers in the Gospel, you'll find that the Latin word was used, or the language was used, even in the Scripture, to reveal what it said. I think what John wanted us to do was to understand exactly what it said. It was there for all to come by and see, and no matter whether they were Hebrew, whether they knew Latin, or whatever it was they knew, the Greek, they were able to read, here is Jesus, King of the Jews. It is written. Now, the sign angered a bunch of people. They got mad about it. And so they went to Pilate and they said, we need to change the sign. We need to change the sign that said, he said he was the King of the Jews. But Pilate said he'd have nothing to do with it. He left it as it was because John wanted us to fix our eyes upon the sign that hung over the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he was being crucified, yet we find he was being glorified because the truth was written over him. And John wanted us today to see the truth that was there. This sign angered them, and they tried their best to get it changed. But I'm telling you, on that cross that day was a king.
Oh, the wonderful cross. No place in history can be attributed with so much loneliness, despair, and agony. Yet no place is the source of such hope, joy, and love. Jesus paid the sin debt of humanity there. Have you accepted his gift of salvation? Join us again next week as we conclude this message, At the Cross.
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast,
please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.